Welcome. Yes.
Well, good morning. God bless you all. It's great to be here on this windy hill in Palmyra.
Blew in here.
Yeah, the Lord just kind of directed us here this morning, and Fiona said, I woke up knowing that you guys were going to be here this morning, so Holy Spirit must have something special here for us this morning.
Amen.
Amen. We give you a great welcome, and thank you for your support. You supported us when we were in Africa, India, outreaches in Haiti, and we do love Guyana, praise the Lord. What a place. So thank you again for loving us and your support again. And we really do believe that through you, God's people are receiving God's inheritance and the promises of God. And can I just give an illustration,
yeah,
please?
Yeah.
Years ago, a woman, you may have heard of her by the name of Catherine Kuhlman. Have you ever heard of Catherine Kuhlman? Powerful healing ministry back in the 70s and 80s and so on and so forth. She's now with the Lord. Someone was wanting to get inside her meeting in California. She had meetings in California and Pennsylvania. They couldn't get in. The doors were closed. Hundreds of people outside, sickness and disease, hurting, suffering. And a young man was just standing there wanting to get inside, but he couldn't get inside. Something came over him in his heart, and he said out loud in front of the crowd. It just came out of him. And he said, the same God that's inside the building is the same God outside the building. If you want healed and prayed for, come stand before me. And just like that, he just caught himself and thought, oh, what did he just say? He started shaking in his boots, and oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You know how it is? We're all there. But he stood there, and no one moved. Everybody thought he was a weirdo, a wacko, you know? One older gentleman shuffled up to him and stood there. He might have had a cane or something like that. You have to research the story. And he just reached out and prayed a simple prayer. Suddenly this man started yelling, I'm healed! I'm healed! I feel the presence of God! You know what happened? Everybody got in line. You know what I'm saying? He went back to Colombia, I think, where he's from. He later married an American woman. They had like four girls. Praise God, I like that. I got four girls. He had stadiums. They prayed for Colombia or whatever nation he was from. A man of God, he fasted, he prayed, had a ministry there. And finally, the drug lords hunted him down and gunned him down in the streets of that city. Laid dead. Martyr for Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be a martyr, but I'm going to say the word of God's in you. And God is waiting for our hearts to open up our mouth. He said, open up your mouth, I will fill it. You'll never know how far God's word's going to take you and other people to inherit God's promises. Amen. So that's my word encouragement for you. The greatest to me, the promise, mm-hmm. All the promises of God, they're all great. They're all amazing. It's just like blows my mind. But that one promise that stirs my heart as an evangelist and called to do apostolic ministry is whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That's what takes us to the nations, to know that promise. That's the promise. You can wake up in the morning and pray that promise on family and friends. As we go about every day, you know, shopping at Walmart, going to the gas station, do what you want to do. But remember, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Amen? That's the promise.
Amen.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, God's given you an all-inclusive day today. And the healer is still here.
Yes, he is. Amen.
The deliverer is still here.
Amen. Yes, amen.
The Savior is still here.
Amen.
The power of God is here.
Amen.
And you only need to believe it to access it. Amen?
Yes.
You just have to believe. Believe you receive. And you shall have. Well, if you go with me to Matthew chapter 5, we're continuing with our series called Go the Extra Mile, How to Get More Out of Life. How many want more out of life? Well, if you want to get the most out of life that it can offer, you got to do things the kingdom way. How many know that things done in God's kingdom are differently than how they're done in the world? And God's kingdom is a counterculture to this world. And it puts us in second place. It puts him in first place. And when God's in first place, there's a shift that takes place in our life. And we begin to walk out his principles and carry out his commands. And we begin to practice his word in our life. Matthew chapter 5, verse 41 says, "And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too." Now Jesus is talking about a person, they compel you to go one, but then on your own, you decide to do something extra, to go the extra mile, to do the extra thing, to go the extra distance, all right? And what you essentially become is you become a servant. When you choose to go the extra mile, you choose to serve. Every one of us has the love of God shed abroad in our heart, but we all need an outlet to let that love loose, and we let that love loose through serving others, serving God and serving others. So I want to talk to you today about how to be a servant of God, because by being a servant of God, you will get more out of life, and I can prove it to you. Go with me to Matthew chapter 18. How many has ever heard the phrase, "nice guys finish last"? That is not true. I'm going to prove it to you with this scripture. Matthew 18, 1. "At the time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And it wasn't Muhammad Ali. "Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." So the greatest in the kingdom of God is the greatest one who serves. So Jesus was the nicest person you'll ever meet. He did nothing wrong. He treated everybody with love and respect. He was not afraid to confront things, and he did it in a loving way, and there was no one that finished better than Jesus. So nice guys don't finish last, they finish first. The last shall be first, right? So go with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Let's get into this. Jesus was the greatest servant leader that ever was and ever will be. He's the best example of how to follow and to serve others. So if you want to get ahead, you got to become skillful in serving others as Christ has served us. John chapter 13, verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Now notice verse 3. "Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." Let me just stop there for a minute. Jesus knew that everything was given into his hands. Imagine possessing the knowledge that everything was given into your hands. I mean, you could really wreak havoc in people's lives. You could really do what you wanted to do. But you know what? God gave this power to the greatest servant who ever lived. God gave the power knowing that everything was in his hands, and because everything was in his hands, he used everything in his hands to serve people. He knew this. He had knowledge of this. He was aware of this. He rose from supper and laid aside his garments. Let's just give you a picture. He took off his robe. Apparently it was nice because the soldiers gambled for it. He laid it aside. And instead of that, he put on a cloth, a towel around his waist. And he got a basin. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So he took all this power that he had, the power that everything was in his hand, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. He began to serve. He began to humble himself. He began to take a lower position than all the power and all the knowledge that he had. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? You know, some of us are like Peter, and we're a little bit uncomfortable when God begins to serve us. Because maybe you don't think you're worthy. Maybe you don't think that you should receive his goodness. Maybe all the lies that have been spoken to you over the past prevent you from receiving love from the Father. Maybe you were unloved, and it's hard for you to receive love. Peter had a hard time with this. Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 7, what I do you know not now, but you shall know hereafter. Peter said unto him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus said to him, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Listen, I'd rather have a part with Jesus than to have no part with him. Listen, you got to let God work in you the way he wants to, not the way you want to. Anybody who resists change when the Holy Spirit's dealing with them, that's called pride. Pride resists the work of the Holy Spirit. I can do it on my own. No, you can't. That's a lie. You cannot do it on your own. You need help. Amen. We all need help. If you think you can do it on your own, you're misguided, you're wrong, and you're going to be destroyed in the end. Simon Peter said, you know, Simon Peter was quick to get a revelation. Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands. Give me a bath. Give me a shower, Lord. I mean, Peter realized, hey, look, should I let him wash my feet or should I have no part? Let me think about this for a minute. Okay, give me a bath, Lord. Do whatever you need to do, Lord. Can we just say that today? Say, Lord, here I am in your house. Do whatever you need to do in me right now. Maybe you need a heart transplant. Maybe you got a stony heart that needs to be transplanted with a heart of flesh. God will transplant you right now. And he doesn't even need anesthesia. He'll take care of it quickly, powerfully, immediately. I better get moving. Jesus said to them, he that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhere. And you are clean, but not all. He was speaking of, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. Can you imagine a guy that was about to be possessed with the devil is sitting at the table there? So after he had washed their feet, verse 12, and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. He is Master and Lord. Amen? How many masters do we have? We better only have one. I'm going to get into that in just a moment. That's just a little nugget. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also to wash one another's feet. Now, I can relieve most of your pressure. We're not having a foot washing service today. I've been in some foot washing services and they're very powerful. But what Jesus is saying here is, if the Master, if the Lord, if the one who has power of everything in his hands serves you, then you should take his example and you should follow him and you should serve others the way he serves you. The way, you know, sometimes we're on a pedestal and people are down here. Guess what? We got to come to where they are to minister to them, to help them. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you. So guess what? Look at someone and say, we're about to get happy. We're going to get happy because we're going to have a biblical understanding of what it means to serve and how to serve and how to do that in a practical way. Amen? Go with me to Luke 16. Luke 16, hallelujah. So we're going to look at some qualities of servants, okay? And these qualities are things that anybody can possess who wants them. Anybody can have them who wants to receive them. Okay? And if you don't have these qualities, you can get them right now. We're having a blue light special today. All these qualities of the Lord are available to anyone who will believe that they receive them. And God will transform you into a servant, and you'll be happy, and you'll be blessed. Everybody needs an outlet. If you don't have an outlet, you're called a Dead Sea. A Dead Sea serves no one. All you can do is float in it. Luke 16, verse 13. A servant can only have one master. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Did you know that money was never supposed to be our master? Money is a tool. Money is supposed to serve us. There are many people in the Bible, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jehoshaphat, Daniel, David. These people were rich. They had money. They had wealth. They had means, but they served God. They used their wealth for the kingdom of God. Money is a tool. Don't let all you do and all you be just strive for money. Money doesn't define you. Money is a magnifier. What you do with a little money, you'll do with a lot of money. If you do a little bad with a little money, you'll do a lot of bad with a lot of money. Many people think, well, when I get a lot of money, I'll do good. If you're not doing good with the money you have now, you're not going to do good with the money you get later. You better start doing something good with it now. Amen. Let it serve you. Don't serve it. As a servant of God, we can only have one master, and that is Jesus. If anything else is our master, then it becomes idolatry. And we know how the Lord feels about idolatry. He hates it. He's a jealous God. So he's got to be the one and only master. Amen? All right. Let's go to John 12. John 12. This will be a really good eye-opener. John 12. And verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die." Everybody underline that word, die. A servant must die to self. When God calls you, he calls you to die. See, self gets in the way of a lot of things. Self, when we put self first, we end up hurting others. Let's read on. "Unless the wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit." Everybody say, "much fruit." "He that loves his life shall lose it. But he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into the world." Which produces more fruit? The kernel of wheat that lives, or the kernel of wheat that dies in the ground? See, if you want your life to produce more fruit, you're going to have to die into the ground. What does that mean? You're going to have to put your dreams, your desires, your things on the table, and you do whatever God wants you to do. You go wherever God wants you to go. And if your dreams don't line up with his dreams, you got to change. Jesus said his life produced the greater when it died. And because when the kernel is planted, it dies. One kernel produces several on a stalk, right? It multiplies when it dies. And when we die to self, our efforts are multiplied. Our effectiveness is multiplied. Increase happens. To be a servant, you have to die to self. If you want, and see, here's the beauty of it. When you die to self and when you serve God, you're going to be where he is. Jesus hangs out with the servants. He loves fellowshipping with the servants. Why? Because he's a servant. He wants us to serve like he served. He wants us to love like he loved. This is the greatest example. He says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also." I want to be with Jesus. I'm going to let that go. "And who will God honor?" He said, "My Father will honor those who serve." Go to Exodus 21. Exodus 21. I want to give you a little picture here of an extra mile servant. Exodus 21, verses 1 through 6. This is powerful. This is a picture of the extra mile servant. "Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve you, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife and shall bore him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out and buy him, go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children,' I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." This master, or this servant, was able to go free. But because he loved the master, because he wanted to be with the master, because he enjoyed serving the master, he had pleasure in serving the master, he decided to stay for free, for life. He became a bond servant. Isn't that what we are for Jesus? Paul called himself a bondservant of the Lord. You know, the Bible called Jesus a servant. It called Moses a servant. It called David a servant. It called Solomon a servant. When you're a servant, you're in good company. Amen? Amen? But we have to learn how to serve others. It doesn't often come natural. Your flesh has to be trained to serve others. If you let your flesh go, it will not automatically serve others. It has to be made. It has to be trained to do that. All right? Let's go to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Boy, I think we're going to have a service revolution after this sermon today. Joshua chapter 6. Actually, I'm sorry, chapter 5. And let's go to verse 13. Joshua 5:13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, are you for us or for our adversaries? You know, I got to commend Joshua for actually even talking to the person. I mean, you see this guy with his drawn sword. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Woo! Joshua was having a conversation with the captain of the host of the Lord. Notice what Joshua did. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And said unto him, what says my Lord unto his servant? So as a servant of the Lord, you need to worship the Lord. Yes. Servants worship the Lord. Amen. Servants humble themselves in God's presence. What did Joshua do? He got down, he bowed, he paid homage. He took the form of a servant. He worshiped this person. He worshiped the captain of the host. Who's our captain? Jesus. He's captain savior, captain deliverer, captain healer, captain miracle worker. There's no one that has more superheroes, superpowers than Jesus Christ. And he lets us use his superpowers when we need to. But Joshua worshiped. As a servant of the Lord, you're a worshiper of the Lord. You die to self. You worship the Lord. You have one master, one purpose. Your purpose is to live for Jesus. The minute you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, you sign, you say, I stop living for myself. It was yourself that got you into trouble. It was Jesus that got you out of the trouble that you got yourself into. Ooh, I didn't accept that it would be coming out like that. There's some power in here today. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Well, if anything, you're going to get a hand workout today. As you flip to the scriptures or flip the pages, however you do it. Amen? You know, even though I have an iPad, I still like the my iPad is somewhere it flips pages. I like the pages flipping. Something about flipping pages. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Talking about really employees and employers. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as how? Uh-oh. You're supposed to treat your employer like Christ. Well, what if it's a bad employer? Doesn't matter. You need to treat him as if you're working for Christ. After all, whether we eat or whether we drink or whatever we do, who's it all for? It's for Christ. Because we have one master. And A servant has to be obedient. A servant has to have godly fear, respect, singleness of heart, sincerity. A single heart is a sincere heart, a truthful heart, an honest heart. Singleness of heart, not double-minded. Double-minded man doesn't receive anything from God. God likes people who are focused, especially on him. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, right? Okay, how do we do this now? Verse 6. Not with eye service. What does that mean? You only do good when the boss is looking at you. Oh, the boss is coming. Let's act like we're working. We've all done that. We've all just sped up our work when the boss walks. Oh, the boss is here. Let's get busy. Why weren't you busy before? What difference does it make if the boss is there or not? Oh. See, people who do eye service, they seek to please men. He said, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Christians need to work with heart. Amen? I mean, after all, God looks to the heart. If he wants a king, he doesn't look to his stature, doesn't look to his muscles, doesn't look to his ability to fight. He looks to his heart. We got to serve God from the heart. Do you have a heart to serve? Do you have a heart to serve God's people? Do you have a heart? With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Why? Verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive from the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Listen, if you treat people good, no matter how they treat you, God will treat you good. Joseph was treated rough by his brothers. He was treated rough by Potiphar. Did you know that Potiphar didn't even have a trial for Joseph? He just took the word of his wife above anything else. And what did he do? He threw Joseph in prison. He didn't even ask Joseph if he did it. He was treated badly. But Joseph kept serving God. He showed respect for Potiphar. He showed respect for the jailer. He showed respect for Pharaoh. And guess what? God was good to Joseph because Joseph was good to people. And if you want to be good to, if you want God to be good to you, be good to people. We got to be servants. A servant is obedient. A servant has one master. A servant dies to self. A servant worships the Lord. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but I want to be a servant. I want to serve God. Go to Colossians chapter 3, just two books over. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in simpleness of heart, fearing God. So a servant has to serve with a faithful heart. Amen? Do you have a faithful heart? One that takes care of the little things, not just the big things? And whatsoever you do, verse 23, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. I want to go to Genesis for a moment. Genesis. There was a problem between Abraham's handmaiden and Sarah. Sarah couldn't have children. So Sarah gave Abraham her handmaiden. And Abraham said, okay. Notice Abraham didn't argue. I mean, if this is your idea, Sarah. But it wasn't God's idea. It wasn't God's plan. You got to stick with God's plan. So Hagar was giving Sarah a hard time. Anybody ever give you a hard time? And, she came to Abraham and said, you got to do something about this woman. She's giving me a hard time. And verse 6, but Abram said unto Sarah, behold, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as it pleases you. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her. Okay, so Sarah gave her the riot act. Sarah read to Hagar. She might have even cussed her out. She dealt with her harshly. Sarah was a harsh master. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where do you come? Or where have you come? And where are you going? She said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarah. Now notice what God says to her, verse 9. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to your mistress and submit yourself unto her hands. What? God, are you crazy? You want me to go back to that crazy woman who cussed me out and sent me out on my way? And submit? Whoa. You talk about a true test of a servant. God's giving her an instruction. See, she went because of Sarah. She went. She was fleeing because of the harshness. God was not involved in the decision. Hagar didn't pray. Listen, just because you're mistreated in a servant relationship doesn't mean it's the right to leave. Now, let me tell you something. When it's time to go, God will say go. God had enough mistreatment from the Egyptians. And guess what? He said, it's time to go, boys. And he said, come on. He did great things to get them out of Egypt. Listen, God will deliver you. You're not the deliverer of yourself. Uh-oh. See, Hagar wanted to leave because of the mistreatment. But you know what? God had plans. Ishmael had to learn how to pray. And if you read the story, when she was sent out the next time, it was Ishmael that heard God's voice in the wilderness and found the spring. Because when Hagar went back, Ishmael learned how to pray from Abraham, his father. Now, granted, Ishmael was not a covenant person. He did not have a covenant with God. The covenant was with Isaac. I understand that. But in this particular instance, God said, go back and serve. Listen, could you serve in a hard place if God told you to? Can you humble yourself and go back and submit to the person that just mistreated you? You can, because God will give you the ability to serve. Oh, did everybody treat Jesus nicely? I mean, the man who did nothing wrong, they hung on a cross. They criticized him, they persecuted him, they mocked him, and he still did what he did. That did not stop him from serving. Ultimately, we serve because of God, not because of man. So you stay and serve because of God, and you leave because of God, not because of yourself. All right, we'll move on. I know, I'll give you a little sugar, to make the medicine go down. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm having fun today. I hope you are. How would families be transformed if an attitude of service became the precedent of how to treat each other? What if husbands were to serve their wives like Christ serves the church? What if wives were to serve their husbands the same way? What would happen if we had a service revolution in our families? Huh? You talk about things happening. I mean, everybody who'll be serving, God will be honoring, and God will be right there. Things will be going well. And when the enemy comes in, you'd all bunch together like Abraham's 318 trained servants who pushed back the enemies of four armies. Man, I'm telling you, when everybody's serving one another, God can do amazing things. It's when we don't serve one another. That's when problems come. Because when we're not serving one another, we're giving place to the enemy. And we're allowing the enemy to work. And the enemy, he wants to divide and conquer. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you realize the enemy cannot steal, kill, and destroy unless we give him permission by our actions? When we refuse to do what God says, we give the enemy permission. All right, let's move on. God's bringing out a lot of things here today. Woo! 1 Timothy 6, 1 and 2. Let as many servants as are under the yoke or under authority count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. Listen, just because your master is, your boss is a Christian, that doesn't mean you should serve any less. Oh, well, he's a Christian, he understands. No, you do your best because you're serving God. You treat every boss as if he's the Lord, and you do it because you're doing it for the Lord. Amen? But rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. God told us to teach these things. All right? So a servant respects authority. Did you know that respecting authority is great faith? Jesus encountered a Roman centurion who respected authority. And the centurion came to Jesus and he said, my servant lies near death. He said, I need you to heal. Jesus was willing to come with him. He said, I'll come over. He said, well, wait a minute, Lord. He said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my house, but only speak the word. He said, I'm a man under authority. I'm under people and people are under me. If I say go, this one, he goes. If I say come, they come. He had respect for authority. And Jesus said, whoa. He said, I have not seen so great faith in all Israel. You know when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were about to be thrown into the fiery furnace, how did they address King Nebuchadnezzar? They said, you prideful king! Did they say that? No, they said, your majesty. Uh-oh. This king's about to throw him in the furnace, and they're showing him respect? I wouldn't respect him. He's not worthy of my respect. No, God is worthy of your respect. It went beyond the king. It wasn't about Nebuchadnezzar. It was about God. Listen, the one whom they respected joined them in the fire. Amen. Come on. So if you want to respect him greater than man, you know, he'll join you in the fire. Because where my servants are, there am I also. They must have been servants of God because he was right there with them in the fire, amen, delivering them. Just like Daniel was, Jesus was in there closing, the angels were in there closing the mouths of the lions. So a servant respects authority. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus, just following Timothy there. Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining or stealing, but showing all good fidelity or faith, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Don't take things from the workplace because you think you have a right to. So what we learn from this is a servant seeks to please the master. A servant seeks to please the master. Please them well. How should you please them? You should please them well. Do you realize if you have a harsh boss, maybe the love of God can change that? Maybe you're there because that person needs help. Maybe you're there because that person needs a light. They're in darkness. They need a light. They need someone to shine. They need someone to love them with the love of Christ. And maybe God put you there because he knows that you would share the love of God. And it's by how we behave as servants. See, this is when we serve God, we're gonna go far in life. When we serve God, we're gonna get more out of life. Yes, it's not comfortable to serve. There are times when your flesh says, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Anybody ever have their flesh go? We all have. Our flesh scoffs at the opportunities to serve sometimes. Sometimes our flesh does not feel like it. I don't feel like it. I'm not led. Oh, that's a big one. I'm not led. Or I don't feel led. Well, I'll put a couple of sinkers in your hands if you want to feel led. Did you know that God's not asking anyone how they feel? Did you know if you're consulting your feelings, whether or not you should do something, that's the wrong consultant. That consultant is going to lead you astray. We're supposed to be led by who? The Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible did not say as many as are led by their feelings, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the opinions of others, they are the sons of God. No. As many as are led by taking a vote. No. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Will the Spirit ask you to do hard things? I don't know. He asked Jesus to go into the wilderness. Oh, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Yeah, there are times when God will bring you to a place he wants to see what you're really made out of. He wants to see how you react, how you behave, whether or not you really believe him. Abraham, oh, God would never ask too much of me, really? He asked Abraham for his son, his only son that he believed for 25 years for. What did Abraham do? Here he is, Lord. Well, Abraham grew in his service to God. See, the more you grow as a servant, the easier it becomes to give big things. Ooh, this is good. Someone better be getting some help here. All right, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. You doing okay? See, you know, when we serve one another, we're invoking the presence of God. God is always going to ask you, to whom much is given, what does God, what follows to whom much is given? Okay, then don't give me so much, Lord. Sometimes that's our attitude. Don't give me so much because I don't want to be so responsible. No, to whom much is given, much is required. I did not say that. The Lord did. That's a principle of God. 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, he's talking to all of us, be subject to your masters with all fear or respect. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unreasonable. I can't believe that God would actually ask me to respect someone who's unreasonable. Now, God is not telling you to be abused. There's a difference. You know when they put Paul in prison and the people, the officials were going to come and take Paul out quietly? Paul said, excuse me, sirs, I'm a Roman citizen. See, Roman citizens could not be put into prison without a trial. They had that right. And these guys got fearful. What are we going to do? He said, you come down yourselves and you escort us out. Paul stood up for his rights. Amen? He invoked his right as a Roman citizen. He didn't do it all the time, but there were times that he did. Listen, there are times when we have to invoke to stand up for ourselves. God never meant for you to be abused. Being unreasonable and abusing someone is two different things. Don't stand for abuse. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only the good ones, but also the forward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Listen, when you're doing right and you suffer for it, that's good. Okay? I mean, let's face it, Jesus suffered, right? He did nothing wrong. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But yet he suffered. But you know what? He got the last laugh. And let me just take a moment here. You know, Easter's coming up, Resurrection Day. If you want to learn how to turn your loss into triumph, come on Resurrection Day. We're going to reclaim your life. Maybe you've experienced a loss. We're going to see how to reclaim our life. Best way that you can reclaim your life is to be resurrected. That's just a little plug-in for Resurrection Day. Okay? All right. For what glory is it when you be buffeted or beat for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Why? God's grace will come in that situation. When you did nothing wrong, when you did right, God's grace will come in and will keep you. He will strengthen you. He will give you the ability to endure it. For even hereunto you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Just like foot washing, we're supposed to follow his steps in serving people. We're supposed to follow his steps in suffering. One good thing is, Christ never suffered sickness. Sickness is not a suffering that we should allow. That's a very good word. Thank you. God gave us the means to be healed. Well, you say, well, how come I'm not healed? Just keep believing. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. I don't know where that came from. I just shot out of me like. Woo. You know, you can take secular songs and make them positive, right? Verse 22, talking about Jesus who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. A man who had no sin in him and no deceit, yet he suffered. But he came out on the end. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. What does that mean? He trusted God. While he suffered, he was trusting God, and God delivered him. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. When were you healed? You were healed on the cross. Go to Galatians chapter 5. I see the finish line in sight. We're heading there. We're close. All right? We're close. Ephesians 5:13. Or no, I'm sorry. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. A servant of God is to love. The motive of a servant is to love. Love sacrifices, love gives, love chooses. God chose to love you. How did he show it? He came out of heaven. He walked on this earth. He died on the cross. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, and he rose from the dead. He demonstrated how much he loved us. So if you're going to serve, you got to do it out of love. Amen? The motive of a servant is to love. Serving is an outlet for your love. Just like the outlets of Hershey are an outlet for your money. Serving is an outlet for your love. You know, I always wonder why they call them outlets. And then you go pay the bill and you wonder, oh, that's why. Ooh. Let's go to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. These are, what are we talking about? Qualities of a servant. Verses 16 through 19. Psalm 116, 16 through 19. Oh Lord, truly I am your servant. Can we say that? With confidence? Truly I am your servant. Let's say that together. Truly I am your servant. Doesn't that feel good? And just when you said that, you know what God said? That's my boy. That's my girl. Way to go! I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. Have our bonds been loosed? He loosed the bonds of sin. Amen? He delivered us from darkness. He delivered us from oppression. He brought us out to bring us into a promised land. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. A servant is thankful and a servant is prayerful. A servant gives thanks because of the bonds that have been loosed from them. Whoo! I've been delivered from sin. I couldn't find my way out. I couldn't find my way out of the mess, but Jesus shined the light where I was, and he brought me out of the miry clay, and he put my feet upon a rock. He gave me purpose and direction. He brought me out. He broke my bonds. So let's be a servant. Proverbs 17:2 talks about a servant does things with wisdom. A servant is faithful, right? A servant is many things. But most importantly, a servant is you. A servant is me. Say, I am a servant of God. And what you're going to do from this day forth is you're going to purpose in your heart to be the best servant that you can be. Amen. Try to outserve people. Find someone to help. Find someone to bless and bless them. Don't huddle your gifts, talents, and abilities like this. Share your gifts, talents, and abilities with others. That's what they're meant for. They were meant to go through you to someone else, to bless someone else. We're supposed to serve others. We're supposed to serve God. Guess what? In serving others, we are serving God. How many has ever seen God? He's invisible, but we have images of God right before us. You are made in his image. You're made in his likeness. And when you're serving people, you're serving God. Jesus said, when you do this to the least of my brethren, you're doing it unto me. Amen. So let's go out and be a servant. When you be a servant, you'll go the extra mile and you'll truly get more out of life. Let's humble ourselves. Let's get rid of pride today. If you feel in your heart like God is calling you for more for him, then I want this today, let this today be a line in the sand where you give more of yourself to God. Let's be all in today. It's no longer a time to be on the fence, but it's a time to be all in. God wants to help you serve. He wants to restore service in your heart. He wants to ignite the service fire. He is calling you for greater things. Will you come? Will you answer the call? Father, in the name of Jesus, right now we release the power of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, for taking these words and breathing life into them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for stirring up people's hearts right now. and calling them to a greater level of service than they've ever known. A greater level of giving of themselves that they've ever known in the name of Jesus. If the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, I want you to come, and God is going to anoint you with fresh oil. He's going to do a mighty work in your life, and He's going to open doors. He's going to do things, and you're going to experience His power and His goodness. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And as you come, I simply want you to believe that you receive, all right? Everyone who comes up here, you're going to believe, you receive. That's it. You're just going to believe. You're going to believe, you're going to receive, and God's going to give. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to start down here. I think it's going to be quick. Amen? The anointing can do a quick work. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father, I thank you right now. Increase the level of service. Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, yes, strengthen, strengthen, strengthen. Yes, hinds feet for high places. Ha, ha, ha. But wait till you get to the top and the view that you're going to see. Oh, keep climbing, keep doing, keep striving for the mastery, for the excellence, for the high prize of the calling in God in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, we release the anointing of your Holy Spirit right now. Just stir up within them in the name of Jesus. Oh, ignite the fire in the name of Jesus, like the space shuttle taking off.